Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a conversation with Congressman Mike Hill. He is the former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. We're delighted that he's taken time out of his busy schedule to come on board with us, and let's talk about the issues that are very pertinent and prominent in society today, in our world, especially in America. We're asking the question, why were the Secret Service so inept? Was it intentional or accidental? And just before the news break, we were talking about the fact that Kimberly Cheadle, in fact, Congressman Hill, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Elon Musk has nicknamed Kimberly Cheadle. He said because she was the formerly worked with PepsiCo, which one of the producers for Cheetos, he's called her Kimberly Cheeto. So Kimberly Cheeto is now saying that she could not put agents on that rooftop where the building housed, if you please, or had the lone shooter that was there trying to assassinate Trump. And I'm going to read to you what she said. She said that building in particular has a slope roof at its highest point, end quote. She said in the interview with ABC, quote, and so there will be a safety factor that will have to be considered, that we wouldn't want to put somebody on the sloped roof. And so, you know, the decision was made to secure the building from the inside, end quote. Now, Congressman Hill, I've been told, and I've read probably 150, 200 articles about this entire subject during the course of this week, and I've been told that state police and the local police were assigned the responsibility of securing the outer perimeter. They'd set up a perimeter of about 400 yards, and the outer perimeter was left up to the state and local police, and they were to be staged, listen, inside the building that the shooter was found to be on top of. After that was determined, then for some unknown reason, this is what causes me to have serious questions about Kim Cheetos, as Elon Musk calls her, they decided to put the staging of the officers in the building next to it. And the building that the shooter was on had its perimeter encircled with a chain link fence. And as you said, Kimberly Cheeto and her team knew that there was someone suspicious on the campus or on the grounds almost an hour before the shooting took place. And within a half hour of that, the police officers were told to go check. They couldn't even get into the fence that circled the building, had to use their police vehicle to ram the gates to open the fence to be able to get into it. Now, from that point forward, there's a lot of misunderstanding, as I understand it, because I've read articles that each one basically challenged the other. What are your thoughts? What is your knowledge in the realm of when the police officers got to the building? Was there a ladder up against the side of the building? Was the ladder there when the police officers went up and tried to confront the shooter? What is the story as you understand it in relationship to that particular portion of the event?
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, as I understand it, that there was a police officer who climbed up the ladder to the roof. And then from the scenario that I read was that he climbed back down when he saw the assassin there who allegedly pointed his rifle at him, and he climbed back down. Now, at that point, why wasn't additional action taken? If this person was too afraid or too cautious to confront the assassin, why didn't someone else? And I'm sure they alerted the Secret Service agents who were on another roof, the ones who eventually took out the assassin, who, by the way, that roof was sloped more than the roof where Cheetos said that she would not put someone because of safety, which is crazy. And then we go even beyond that, Dr. Youngblood. After the assassination attempt where President Trump was wounded and he hit the ground, the Secret Service covered him. And then as he stands up to leave with the iconic fist saying, fight, 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 that the woman protecting him in front was an entire foot shorter than he was, exposing him to another potential shot. And all of this is because of diversity, equity, and inclusion throughout the entire Secret Service hiring process brought on by this Kimberly Cheetos, which is a shame. She made the statement that by 2030, she wanted a third of the Secret Service force to be female. Now, I've been at events with President Trump in the past and also with President Bush, and I was very close to the president, in fact, on the stage sitting right behind him, and I was able to look around and see the Secret Service agents who were there. These were tough men who were in place, someone who you knew you did not want to try to confront or mess with. And now we have women who are less than 5 feet six, who are guarding our president. It's a travesty, Dr. Youngblood, this entire leftist DEI movement. But thank goodness we're having pushback on that from enough Americans that perhaps is going by the wayside.
Absolutely. Congressman Neal, hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have Miranda on the line. Go over with your question or comment, please.
Hi, Dr. Youngblood. I have, since the beginning of Trump's announcement in 2015, since he became a political figure running for president, I have always believed that the hand of God was on him. And I believe that only the hand of God could have protected him from this bullet. And I believe also that the hand of God has been on him this whole entire time because of all the persecution that he's been through, all the lies that have been told about him, all the misrepresentations of things, all the comments that they would play that were taken out of context. Only a man that is protected by God would have been able to withstand all of that. And I don't know that I could have. I'm a woman, of course, but I don't know that I could have stood that. I don't know that my husband could have, and I don't know that I would have. I think I would have advised my husband, if I had been Melania, step away. It's not. They're going to destroy you. They're going to destroy the whole family. They're going to destroy everything. And only by the hand of God has he been able to stand all that. Also, we need to remember that we watched John Kennedy die one afternoon. And I'm old enough to remember that. And I remember my father at the time saying, how could this happen? How could this happen? And since the many years have expired since that time, we have seen all the people that were within our government that were against our president at that time, and we're seeing it now. And that's pretty much what I wanted to say. But I just I really feel the hand of God is on him. I pray for this man every day for his
Amen.
Safety and his sanity. And
yes.
his only a person who is touched by God would be able to stand these rigors that he has been faced with. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Miranda, for your comments and your statement. I believe that he has more, if you please, brass. He has more tenacity and more, ability than I've seen in the recent years, and I'm still less than 100 years old. Congressman Hill, I've got a question that perhaps you're aware of and that you might be able to add a little information to it for our listeners today. I'm told, and I have articles on that, that sharpshooters for the Secret Service, 3 minutes before the assassin fired his first round, that they said that they were ready to pull the trigger and neutralize him, and they were told to stand down. Why would that be the case? Who would have made that decision? It had to be somebody there on site that was following instructions from Kim Cheetos. So what are your thoughts on that? What do you know about that?
Yeah, that's right, Dr. Youngblood, that they had the assassin in sight, was ready to pull the trigger to neutralize the assassin, and they were told to stand down. And that had to have come from someone who was on site at the time, who was taking orders from above, which would have been eventually or ultimately Kim Cheetos. But then I understand too, Dr. Youngblood, that when the sniper took out the assassin, that he lost his job for not following orders. That's what I'm hearing. I don't know how valid that is, but if that's the case, that's something that has to be investigated and looked into. And I think we should. I think that Congress should demand the resignation of Kim Cheetos immediately.
Absolutely. Question that brings up in my mind. Who would do the investigation? I realize they've already said now that the FBI is going to do the investigation. I understand that. My question is your take on it and your understanding. How can the FBI, the DOJ, the DHS, any of the investigatory groups, how can they investigate something that happened within their own, under their own perusal and oversight? For example, the FBI investigated, according to James Comey, Hillary Clinton. Is she in jail? The FBI investigated the Hunter situation with his bribery and his treason and his dad's involvement. Do you find any of those in jail? Is James Comey in jail? Is Hillary Clinton in jail? And all of those were investigated by the FBI, the thugs with badges. Can we expect a search and investigation that will have any teeth in it from the FBI and the thugs with badges in relationship to the attempted assassination on Trump? What are your thoughts? Can it be done?
I don't think so, Dr. Youngblood. And just based on some of the examples that you cited, the current FBI and our CIA have lost all legitimacy under the Biden administration. Most American citizens do not trust them, do not believe that they are operating in the best interest of the country, but instead for the party, the Democrat Party, which is a shame. The same FBI said that they couldn't get information off the assassin's phone. Unbelievable. Of course you can. The NSA out of a facility in Utah has access to the phone conversations of every person in the United States and also outside of the United States. And they're saying that they could not get access to this person's phone. Utter nonsense. So right away, when they say we're going to investigate this, serious people immediately rolled their eyes and said, we cannot trust what this FBI, this current FBI, is going to do.
Absolutely. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
Hey, it's James. Hey, terrific show as usual. Wonderful guest, of course. Quick, I got in late. I hadn't heard if anybody had mentioned the significance of the fact that when President Trump was hit, you know, an involuntary ear piercing he got, it was 6:11. And a lot of friends in my love Ephesians, and we love the full armor of God. And it dawned on us immediately, Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And I hadn't heard if anybody mentioned that, number one. The second little observation, and I think it's interesting to think, if you have a suspicion that you were not being protected properly, he's got the money to underwrite it, and he's already got his own private security team. Why wouldn't he publicly say, please don't take this personally, but unfortunately, until I get back in office, I don't trust the Secret Service, and I want them all off my property. I don't know why that wouldn't be done. If he was my dad, I would be insisting he do that immediately, insisting he does that, because there's private people out there that are retired SEALs and special forces and great people in security that would probably volunteer their time in addition to it. But that was the thing. And then the final thing is, has anybody talked about Teddy Roosevelt and the fact that he was shot running for office the third time through his glass case, which was metal, his notes, which were in a book in his breast pocket, and the bullet pierced his chest, and he went to the podium and did his rally, if you will, for an hour and a half and spoke. When they went and took him, the bleeding had stopped. The bullet was lodged in his chest in an area the doctor said, we don't think we want to take it out. So he not only died with a bullet in his chest, not from that injury, mind you, but there's incredible history of that. And then I said three things. The third one is people got to realize politics has been dirty. Back when John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, I think that one of them said the other one, you can vote for him, but he's dead, and he wasn't dead. And he also called him, I believe, a hermaphrodite, which is, I guess you have to go look that up. But bad politics has been out. Now, here's the blessing of Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. They ended up writing each other correspondence after many years, and they rekindled their friendship. And as probably historians know, they both died within a few hours of one another on the 4th of July. So our country may not be mentioned in the Bible, but there's some historic biblical significance to the fact he was shot at exactly 6:11, and Ephesians 6:11 is the full armor of God. There's incredible significance to the fact that godly men and women are starting to wake up, stand up, step up, and listen to folks like you, Dr. Youngblood. And I praise God for you, and I thank him for you being Amen. There and being the voice. And God bless you guys and what you're doing, and Representative Hill, phenomenal show. I wish I got in earlier. But interesting things to mull over, guys. It's God is not done with America.
Absolutely. James, thank you so much for your call, for your insight. In fact, I am a firm believer that God is still sovereign. God's not just, as I've used this term, God's not just sitting out on the colonnade front porch of heaven with his long beard and a cane in his hand saying, my, I don't know what to do about this old world. He is sovereign. He is in control. He's not asleep. He's not on vacation. He's not even had COVID, as I say openly. He is the one that is in control. But man, volitional choice of man makes the decisions. God overrides that and still will bring about his will. And when you look at the text you're talking that James just talked about, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. Even Tucker Carlson recently said that we're dealing with a demonic battle. It's a spiritual battle, Tucker said. And I believe that's exactly what we're seeing today, is that battle. James, thank you so much for your call. God bless you. Congressman Hill, when we think further, let's switch gears slightly, but it's still in the same vein. I'm looking at a headline says, move over, God. Joe Biden now says he's dropping out of the race for a new reason. Dated July the 17th, and it says this. Joe Biden has been walking cognitive question for months now. He left behind a disastrous performance from the presidential debate. He was at NATO event and said that Ukraine president was Putin and his own vice president was Trump. The result is the leaders in his own party are now calling for him to step aside of the 2024 presidential race so Democrats can nominate someone else. He said no, leaving the party with few options because he's already collected enough delegates to be the nominee. Here's the clicker. But there is one issue that would change his mind. He's now confirmed a new health issue. Biden confirmed his intention of staying in the race in an interview with the BET unless there's a new health issue to consider that his doctors tell him about. Now, he said his decision to fight could change. Quote, if I had some medical condition that emerged, if doctors came in and said, you've got this problem and that problem, I would then decide to step aside. Congressman Hill, my question is this. Do you believe that Joe Biden will be the candidate on the November the 5th ticket when we go to vote?
I do not think so, Dr. Youngblood. I don't think he's going to make it that long. We're seeing in real time his decline in his physical and his mental health. And it's a rapid decline. It has accelerated since the beginning of this year. And we're seeing it day by day. I watched a video of him yesterday trying to walk up the short stairs to Air Force One. And he labored at getting that done, just walking up, I think, 10 steps. And he had a hard time doing that. We're seeing it almost daily, Dr. Youngblood, this accelerated decline. It would be sad if he wasn't, it is sad, Dr. Youngblood, to watch it. I wouldn't wish that on anyone to
Absolutely.
Go through that. And it's a shame that the Democrat Party, but now even more and more of the Democrats are calling for him to step down, but he refuses to. Why? Because once you get a taste of that kind of power that the President of the United States has, you don't want to let go of that. It's very hard to give that up willingly. And I think eventually it's going to happen because of the illness that he has right now, the dementia, and now they're saying he's been diagnosed with COVID, but it's a mild case. I think physically he is going to just not be able to sustain much less a campaign, but even just a function as a person.
Well, the most recent thing that I heard and had the article on from last evening is that now Nancy Pelosi is saying, Mr. President, step aside. And along with that, there'd been the push for Kamala Harris to go ahead and debate J.D. Vance as VPs in a VP debate. And now the Republican Party has said, no, we're not doing that until we know who's on the ticket. Because as it stands, Nancy Pelosi and the other key leaders, including Chuck Schumer and Pencil Neck, as Donald Trump called him, Adam Schiff, the entire heads of the Democratic Party have now coalesced, and they've said to Joe Biden, step aside. And the word is, as of 6:30 this morning news, that supposedly Nancy Pelosi says that he will make that decision this week. So I see the handwriting on the wall, and as you know, I've said for over 3 years that Joe Biden will not be the candidate November the 5th for the election. Now, my question with making that statement and elongating the underpinning thoughts behind it, how will this, from a political standpoint, how can they remove him? What can take place? How will it be orchestrated? And whose names will appear on the ballot?
Well, the only way they can legally remove him, Dr. Youngblood, if he doesn't resign, is through the 25th Amendment of our Constitution, which essentially says that when the president is incapable of running the country, then the vice president and the cabinet are to bring that decision before Congress for a vote. And so that's the only way legally it can be done. If he refuses to step down, will they go that route? I'm not so sure, Dr. Youngblood, because that would be a devastating blow to the Democrat Party to admit that their person who has more delegates than any others is incapable of functioning. And even though it's so visible to everyone else, that would still be so damaging for them to come forward and admit that and to take that that step of removing him from office. It hasn't happened before that I'm aware of. So unprecedented for this. And what we're seeing right now, Dr. Youngblood, is the history that we are living through is utterly amazing. Should we all be around, if the good Lord hasn't come back first, 100 years from now, people are going to look at this time period with utter amazement of what took place and what's going on.
Absolutely. And when we analyze it, going back to his removal, I think he himself has been put in a position that they're suggesting to him that he make the decision based on health reasons. And now with the intervention of, I believe, the hand of God, that he supposedly has COVID, and I say supposedly because we don't know. But the thing that's amazing and fascinating to me is the approach that they're taking. I'm looking at the headline, Biden tests positive for COVID, cancels all events. President Joe Biden tested positive for COVID on July the 17th and canceled all of his planned events. He said, quote, I tested positive for COVID-19 this afternoon, but I'm feeling good and thank everyone for their well wishes, President Biden said on social media platform Twitter. I will be isolating as I recover, and during this time, I will continue to work to do the job for the American people. He received his first dose of Paxlovid after testing positive, Dr. O'Connor said in his statement. I made a footnote on this article. The CDC protocol for all of COVID was to put the patient on remdesivir. Remdesivir destroys the lungs, the liver, the heart, and the kidneys, and it kills the patient. Why are they putting him on something other than the CDC protocol if the CDC protocol was supposed to be the highest and best thing for patients during the apex of COVID? I believe the handwriting on the wall is this, if I could say this and then have your final word and take on it. I believe they're going to let Joe Biden admit that he has bad health, they're removing him on that basis, which still complies with what would be called the 25th Amendment. I believe that Kamala Harris will be on the top of the ticket. I believe they're going to put either Kamala, Obama's wife on there, Hillary Clinton or Gavin Newsom, Michelle Obama, Gavin Newsom, or even Obama himself on the bottom of the ticket and run the ticket on that basis because the Democrats think they have to have a name that is recognized, Hillary Clinton, Obama, one of those, in order to win the race. Now, that is my opinion. That's my take. What are your thoughts? We've got about 10 seconds before our time's up.
Well, I agree with you, Dr. Youngblood, except for Kamala and Hillary on the same ticket. I don't think that's a winning combination. Two women running our entire country, that's unfathomable. But I agree with you. Joe Biden is not going to be on that ticket come November.
Absolutely. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder,